All right, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome, Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr, North Dakota Corn Council Studio. On a very important day tomorrow, it is since about 2013, due to legislation introduced by North Dakota U.S. Senator John Hovind, the first Saturday in November is National Bison Day. Why? Well, not because they play football on the first Saturday of November usually, but no, we're talking America's bison, not the NDSU bison, with Jim Matheson, who is the executive director of the National Bison Association. How are you doing, Jim?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you, Mick?
Well, no complaints. Man, you've been busy. I understand you were at the National FFA Convention last week.
Yes, sir. We are on the Buffalo Trail here. So every fall, we go out and do a bunch of outreach, which included, yes, the National FFA Convention last week in Indianapolis. Had about 65,000 young people, hopefully with a career in agriculture, visiting us at our National Bison Association booth there and teaching them about the bison advantage.
I hear noise in the background. Where are you at today?
Yes, sir. Today I am at a different trade show. This is the Regenerate 2022 conference in Denver, Colorado, and we've got a booth here. It's a regenerative agriculture conference, so a bunch of like-minded folks like ourselves out here again teaching people about the bison advantage and its fit in regenerative ag.
Super. All right. Well, before we talk about National Bison Day tomorrow, the regenerative nature of bison themselves. It was just towards the mid to latter part of the 1800s. We almost wiped them out. They are almost extinct.
That's right, Mick. Just 150 years ago, we were down to under 1,000 bison left in the entire world. So thanks to some forward-thinking ranchers, primarily in coordination with conservationists, we were able to save the remnants of that species. And today, we have approximately 500,000 bison in North America. 94%, we estimate, of those animals are on private property, most of which are farms and ranches, of course, raising this animal for its food and its byproducts. But it's considered a great conservation success story, and we, of course, want to keep growing this herd back to its great numbers. I'm not sure we'll get back to 30 million again, as we were historically there, but certainly moving in the right direction here.
Well, without sounding too partisan, prior to the arrival of the great white hunter, the tribes of North America had a great coexistence with the North American bison, and it provided meat and fur and warmth and whatnot. But they're an integral part of the restoration of the U.S. bison herd.
They sure are, Mick, and that's a great point to bring up. We work very closely with the Intertribal Buffalo Council. We actually have a memorandum of understanding between our organizations, and so we collaborate a whole lot in terms of getting bison back on tribal land, which we're doing very successfully. The Intertribal Buffalo Council now has buffalo on, I believe, 60 different with 60 different tribes now. So they are doing wonderful work, and we do all we can to support their efforts, too.
I would assume there are southern tribes and northern tribes where we have serious winter and there's some serious heat, and unlike humans, bison do well in all the climates.
Huh? Yeah, they do. They're incredibly adaptable animals, which is evidenced by their continued existence. They've had to adapt to many different environments in their history here in North America. And today we do have bison in just about every state, according to the last USDA Ag Census. We had them in every state except for Rhode Island, I believe. So figure Rhode Island's too small for a bison.
Yeah,
but no, they are very adaptable. They shed their coats in the summertime, of course, as you've probably seen. And we've got plenty of bison down in Texas and the southern herds there. But a bulk of the production and the bulk of the animals are in the northern plain states, such as North Dakota.
Yeah, and on private ranches. So how we doing? Are we are you looking for more people to raise bison? What's the status of the bison herd here in November 22?
Yeah, absolutely. We are looking for more producers to raise bison. We have a growing consumer base that is seeking very clean, high quality protein that bison provides. So we are actively seeking new producers to pursue bison ranching. It's a great way to diversify your operation. It's not all in on bison. We've got plenty of our membership that raise both cattle and bison. And it's a good way to add value to your operation and to diversify your operation.
All you need is a good fence, or what do you need?
Yes, sir. A little bit beefier fence. And it is really quite straightforward to amend current cattle fencing to accommodate bison. You know, we focus mostly on daily management, keeping those critters happy, not giving them a reason to leave rather than building Fort Knox to keep them in. You know, so I would say the most common fencing out there for a bison operation is probably 5 strands of high tensile smooth wire, you know, maybe with a hot wire on top. That tends to keep them around. But, you know, we've got plenty of folks out there that are running bison on 3 strands of barbed wire in more rural locations, and they tend to stick around, again, thanks to the daily management.
All right. Tomorrow, National Bison Day. How do we celebrate?
Well, the best thing you can do is go out and get yourself a nice bison burger, a delicious bison steak, and support what we're doing here. You know, our take is that as we get more folks, more consumers purchasing bison, that's creating the economic incentive we need to put more bison on private ranches and farms, which is ultimately restoring the species there. So tomorrow is a great day just to celebrate bison in any way you wish. That could also be visiting a zoo, visiting a park. We've got some tribes out there doing some fun cultural events tomorrow. So really, there's events literally across the country for folks to participate in, including North Dakota.
Yeah, and of course, we got folks listening in both the Dakotas and Minnesota. And do you have a list of some of those events on your website, or should we just go seek them out and find them?
I think your best bet is to, you know, rely on Google and go Google National Bison Day in your state and see what pops up there. That's the most efficient way to do it. We don't have a coordinated list on our website or Facebook page or anything like that, you know, because there's so many events to track. We just haven't been able to do that. So, but easy enough to, again, you know, Google National Bison Day events close to you and see what pops up.
As we mentioned at the outset, the U.S. Senate has designated the first Saturday in November National Bison Day. Tip of the hat of our senators from the Upper Midwest.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Senator Hoeven is a longtime friend of the bison, and he is a sponsor there on that Senate resolution, as he has always been in the past. So we really appreciate Senator Hoeven's support. And that's just in terms of National Bison Day. Of course, Senator Hoeven was also a sponsor and designated bison as the United States national mammal back in 2016.
Gotcha. All right. Jim Matheson, the executive director, National Bison Association. Jim, thank you. Better let you get back to the conference, and we'll see you a week after next in Kansas City at the Farm Broadcasting Gathering.
Excellent. Look forward to seeing you, Mick.
Thank you. Have a great weekend, and go bison.
Thank you, sir. You too.
All righty. We are going to take a quick break, come back, and talk about the climate and the ability to forecast first freeze date. How are we doing that? Next on Farm Talk.